Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up, we'll be hearing about the new auto-enrolment pension scheme, which is set to begin in September of next year, and which will affect employers and also hundreds of thousands of employees. The new auto-enrolment pension scheme is to be called My Future Fund. And Tata Consultancy Services, which has a major base here in Letterkenny, will be managing the service for My Future Fund. Tata will provide the administration services to the new National Automatic Enrolment Retirement Savings Authority. And the 15-year contract is understood to be worth in the region of €150 million. Tata is a highly experienced global ICT solutions company that has successfully administered similar schemes in other countries. And we'll also be looking at the Inishowen social enterprise Spree August Sport, which has announced plans for a new sustainable fashion pop-up shop for young people. I've been speaking with the project coordinator, Evine Nolan. Firstly, though, it's time to reflect on a big event that took place last weekend in the Twin Towns. Louise Patton, Secretary of Balbafay and Stranorlar Chamber of Commerce, you've just had the very successful inaugural Business and Community Awards, and before we came on air, I think you said you were a little bit down on energy, but that's because it was such a great weekend. But of course, you had to put in so much effort along with a number of other people, but the hard work has paid off. A great night was had by all.
Yes, Chris, we are lucky. We had a fantastic night on Saturday night. First time round, so everything was being done for the first time, so that bit of extra work in the organising of it all. Now, did we get it all perfectly right? No, absolutely not, and we know that, but we learned a lot from the processes that we undertook. There's things that we certainly need to look at before next time, but the night itself was a really good party, and for me, it was about bringing people together. It wasn't about winning and, you know, and finalists and nominees. It was about getting the Balbafay business community together, and we really managed that. We had almost 400 in the room. It was lovely to see that so many people wanted to be there, to be part of it, to get together, to shout the praises of each other. And we did a wall of all the people who were nominated as well. So for me, it wasn't just, as I say, about who won. It was about the finalists. It was about all the people who were mentioned and nominated. And I think we had 1,559 people nominated in total. So that was amazing. And it was lovely to see that, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I know when we spoke before, you know, you were talking about the whole positivity of things, and you've touched on it there, and the networking opportunities, bringing people together. And I'm sure there were people there who were meeting other people who maybe didn't even realise that they had businesses going, and the success, particularly of some of the newer businesses, and a positive vibe overall.
Positive vibe overall. We were very lucky. We had one of our main sponsors was PTSB, who are new to Balbafay. Donegal County Council were also one of our main sponsors. And then the Gala Group and Harkins Gala were also main sponsors. And we're so grateful to all of our sponsors, to our award sponsors, for anybody who contributed to the night at all. But yes, bringing all those people together. And we had members of the council with us as well, and quite a few politicians as well on the night. And it was lovely to bring everybody together because everybody's working for the one aim. We also had a man called James Anthony McGinley, who owns McGinley Buses. He was our guest speaker, and he was so interesting. Some of the things he told us, he did a short interview at the beginning of the night, and he talked about, you know, when COVID hit for him and he had sold, he had sold quite a few holidays. which of course didn't happen because of COVID. And he said he was looking at having to refund a seven-figure sum at that time. And that was part of the reason why we were doing what we were doing as well, is so that business people did not feel like they were on their own in those situations. And for somebody to sit up there and share that with you, and you think, right, okay, well, there are people who have continued on to be really successful and have been in bad places at times. And that was a very inspirational speech from him, and a really interesting businessman to listen to. So we started off the night with that. We did an auction for, we had a painting and we had a drinks hamper, kindly sponsored by Super Value. And the proceeds of that went to the BlueStack Foundation, which was good. And then we proceeded on. We had Jackson's, the team in Jackson's were outstanding, is the only word I can use for them. They really made the night for us. The service, the food, everything was perfect. And then we headed on to our 11 awards, which, as I say, were kindly sponsored by various different people. And yes, people were excited. It was lovely to see the reaction in the room. We had a few standing ovations, which were lovely. And they weren't always for the winners, which was lovely as well, to see, you know, you could see from the crowd's reaction when they felt somebody particularly special was up there, and that was a lovely thing as well.
And for the winners and those who were nominated, you know, that in itself, just to get that recognition is nice. And in particular then for the winners, I mean, many of them, a proud moment in front of people that you know, just looking out from the stage. Maybe you can just go through the winners of the awards.
Yes, so Outstanding Customer Service was our award number one. And Shane Duffy Tyres, who is a fairly new business in town, won that award. Fantastic service. Called to the house. Can't say enough about that. Then we had Outstanding Small Business, who was won by The Hatter, a fantastic coffee shop in Stranorler. Third was Outstanding Large Business, which was won by Super Value, one of the biggest supermarkets in Balbuffet Town. And it's owned by Kavanagh's. And as I say, they were very good and had sponsored one of our hampers. We had Balbuffet and Stranorler Retailer of the Year, which was won, not surprisingly, by McElhinney's, which is Balbuffet's, tends to be our flagship. And nobody does retail better than McElhinney's. We had Health, Beauty and Wellbeing Award, which was won by Beauty Secrets, fantastic beauticians in town. We had Outstanding Sports Facility or Club, which was won by the Finn Valley Centre. Business Person of the Year, which was won by Tommy Gallen, who is the owner of the Gallen Group and has lived in Balbuffet all his life. And that was one of our standing ovations. And it was really lovely to see him rewarded, because he has done amazingly well. Excellence in Hospitality was won by Conkers, fantastic a restaurant in town, ran by Siobhan McCauley. Then our final one was Lifetime Achievement, which of course was won by John McElhinney, which was always going to be a hard man to beat. it was lovely to see him rewarded for his efforts. He's a long time in business and has always been in business in Balbuffet from the time he was working out from a van. And he has built quite a business. So it was lovely to see the team there for that as well. So overall, a great night for winners and runners up and, as I say, nominees as well. So no, it was a great night of celebration. It really was.
And from the Chamber's perspective, you know, having taken the courage to go and do something like this, no doubt this will strengthen the Chamber and hopefully get more people involved in the long term as well.
We really hope so. You know, we did go out on a whim doing this, and you did not know if this was going to be a huge fail or if it was going to work well. And that's the risk that you take with things like this. And you very much put yourself out there because, as I said before, this will not be perfect. You will learn from the processes. You will learn from the voting process or what you have to fine tune. It was our first attempt at this. Towns like Letterkenny have been doing this for numerous years and have it down to a T. So as I say, for us, this was our first process We were also dealing at the time with, there was a media headline going around about how many derelict buildings we had in Balbuffet at the same time as we were trying to promote the night. And sometimes you can feel a wee bit like you're banging your head against a brick wall, because we knew that there was actually more new businesses had started in Balbuffet recently, and we were just, we questioned the figures on that. And it just, you were facing such a negative headline when you were trying really hard to put across a positive vibe in town. This is what this is about. It's about bringing businesses together. It's about bringing new business to Balbuffet as well, which is a massive one and something we would like to see a lot more of. And it's about having matters discussed by the Chamber that people need to hear about. So we're very much looking for that positivity to remain with us to going forward. And we have new members who have come along even in the last few weeks. And it's great to have new blood and new ideas. And yes, there was an organising committee of four of us who organised the night. There's four of us. Paul Harkin is our chairperson from Harkin's Gala. We have Tracy Alexander from Alexander's in the Coffee Loft. We have Dean Gillespie, our coordinator, who works with the base and the basic. And there was myself, who is the chamber secretary. So between all of us, we got it together. We also had on the night, we had the cast of Hairspray from the Baller, who did a number for us in the foyer, which created such a great energy, and we're so grateful to them, the young people, for coming back and doing that. It was a very successful musical in town over the summer, headed up by Caroline Bell, who was from the Baller and was up for our Community Superstar Award. Caroline has been working with young people for such a long time, and we are very lucky to have her in our towns. So we were delighted to have them on board. And as I say, they created a great energy. So we have lots of good things to shout about in Balbuffet. We really do. And all of those were highlighted on Saturday night. So we just need to keep going forward on this positive note and keep remembering of all the great things that we have in our town and all the great people that we're so lucky to have as well.
And that was Louise Patton, Secretary of the Balbuffet and Stranorlar Chamber of Commerce. The new auto-enrollment pension scheme is set to begin in September of next year. So what exactly is coming down the track? How should employers prepare? And just what sort of benefits will there be for employees? Well, to find out more, I've been speaking with Tony Delaney, founder and chief executive of SYS Financial, who's a leading expert in financial services. Tony, thanks for joining me here on Business Matters. It's a hugely important topic. And after years of talk, an auto-enrollment pension scheme is finally set to be rolled out by the state. So maybe first you can just outline where we stand as of now, what exactly is on the table, and explain to our listeners just what the current setup is and the difference between, you know, the public sector with pensions and those in the private sector who may or may not have a pension plan. That's a lot to get going.
It is a great beyond, Chris. That is actually a lot to get going. And I would say if it was to cover that, we'd be here for a few hours. But if I just maybe lead in with the auto-enrollment, realistically, look, it's a government-led pension scheme that's been probably been spoken about for the last 20-odd years, but has now become real. It's very positive for a lot of people, probably between 800,000 and 1 million people. But there's also going to be some negativity around it from employers having to, you know, there's a cost incurred in this as well, both for the employer and the employee. There is a certain criteria, you know, on who can join. And I suppose also then there's a criteria over a number of years for the contribution start at 1.5% and increase periodically over the next number of years. So, look, it's been positively, you know, accepted, I suppose, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions. How it works, who's going to run it, you know, how is my money taken? You know, and employers having to sort of explain to their staff that this has happened because there's no, if you become eligible, there's no way out of it, Chris. Yeah. You know, realistically, if next September, 3 months in from that, you'll start looking into your payroll system and they will start the deductions in September, both from an employer and employee point of view.
So as we stand in this country, what are the, it's about half the people who are in private sector employment don't have a pension, is that right?
Yeah, look, you have the private sector, and I suppose a lot of people then, you know, you mentioned the public sector in your intro. It's a completely different pension scheme already. And then I think a lot of people dismiss the, what we call the, you know, we don't want to call it the old age pension anymore because 66 years of age isn't old. But you have your retirement pension by the state pension. And that makes up an integral part of people's, you know, income at retirement. And I think it's dismissed too often because, look, it's going to be going over 14, it's going to be over 14,000 a year.
Now, this new auto-enrolment scheme that's coming in a nutshell, employees and the employer will both contribute in towards it. And it's going to be on a scaled percentage to take it over a number of years.
Yeah, 1 to 3, it's going to be 1.5%. So 1 to 3 years, it's 1.5% for employer and employee. And that, then you get a contribution for the government of 0.5. So your total contribution is 3.5%, Chris. So, you know, people have actually sort of compared it to the old, maybe if you remember after the financial crisis, the old SSIA scheme where you put away X amount of money and the government gave you 25%. So it's been compared a little bit to that, but from year 4 to 6, then it increases to 3 and 3%, and from 7 to 9, it increases to 4.5 and 4.5, and from year 10 onwards, it increases to 6 and 6, which is fairly substantial, Chris. Like the probably average in the private pension scheme, where there's an employer-sponsored scheme, you know, it varies between 3 and 5%. So, as time goes on, it is a fairly costly part for an employer, and you know employers are going to have to put it in their you know, a lot of employers will be doing their budgets now in November, October, November for 2025, and you're going to have to include you know, this is part of your payroll.
Yeah, so if you're a small employer here in Donegal, the advice is to, I suppose, get more advice soon. Don't leave this to the last minute near September.
Yeah, well, Chris, I think the word you used there was expert. I honestly believe anything we do, we should be always looking to the experts. And especially, I think, in the investment and the pension, the retirement planning sector. But I suppose for employers, it's really anyone from age 23 and 60 years of age. And then if you're earning over 20,000 gross salary. But there's a lot of different anomalies in it for employers as well, like that there are a lot of, you know, bespoke pension schemes are set up on your basic salary. So if you have overtime and maybe bonuses, etc., they don't, in a lot of cases, form part of the retirement package. So in this particular instance, that is not going to be the case. It's going to be your gross earnings. So my guidance, look, I don't think anyone is going to be able to avoid auto-enrolment. And there's a lot more to this, Chris, just on the deductions, because, you know, you have people that might have existing pensions, their own personal pensions. Should I leave that there? Should I, like, you're going to have to start the auto-enrolment scheme. Like, it is compulsory. But there are some disadvantages to the auto-enrolment as well, Chris, that, for instance, you know, you can't access your money until retirement age, which will be in line with the state pension. You can only get 25% of the fund. You can't do top-ups. So if you want to top it up, then you have to go back to your employer and look maybe to set up another separate pension arrangement if you're in the auto-enrollment scheme. So my guidance would be, even for people that have existing schemes, you need to review your existing scheme if you have one in place. You're going to end up having to review your contracts because someone will have, you know, your period where you have your probationary period for maybe 6 to 12 months. And if you're in that category, you don't divide auto-enrollment, you're automatically going to be enrolled. Mm. Then there's opt-out periods after 2 years and opting in. So it's when you go under the bonnet, Chris, it's fairly technical.
Now, from the state's perspective, by bringing this in, there's always the situation that people maybe in their 20s and 30s They put off starting a pension if they're in the private sector. But now with this auto-enrollment, you won't have any choice. A small percentage is going to go into that pension scheme, which in the long run is going to be good for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Compared with our European neighbours, we've been somewhat lagging, I take it, in this regard.
We've definitely been lacking, and even, you know, we've a habit of following the UK model. Probably, you know, Australia have a super model as well, but we're probably 78 years behind the UK. And when the UK implemented theirs, it sort of came in, it was spoken about, and then all of a sudden it just landed. And it wasn't actually a lot of employers were even ready for it. So, you know, my guidance would be in the first quarter of next year, you know, I would be saying to employers, get your budgets right. If your payroll is 10 million or 1 million euros, you need to include 1.5% of the cost. But also then, you know, review whether it's auto-enrollment, whether it's bespoke in your own scheme. You could have, we call it a blended approach. You could end up having both, Chris. And we put together a lovely document with traffic lights for clients. And it's sort of, you know, it's fairly self-explanatory, and it shows, you know, the pros and cons. And when you look at that, you know, our guidance would be that maybe having an employer-sponsored scheme that's bespoke by the employer will have more benefits than auto-enrollment. But the big, I think, what people are going to focus on is technically what we call the tax relief. It's going to be different under auto-enrollment. But realistically, if you're a 40% taxpayer and in your current employment, and you get opted into auto-enrollment, there's a disadvantage for you straight away, because you're not going to get 40% tax relief. And then if you're on the lower tax, 20%, there is an advantage to that in auto-enrollment versus your group scheme. But saying that, Chris, there's other disadvantages then that could probably outweigh that little bit of a tax break. So there's going to be a lot of questions landing on HR desks and also on financial controllers.
For a lot of small companies, you know, this could be quite a headache because it's somewhat unknown territory.
Yeah, and Chris, you know, some of you clients would have said to me, you know, the last couple of months when it was sort of, it's been pushed out, and, you know, to be fair, the head of Humphreys has really tried to make sure this is implemented and gave a few dates earlier on this year that have been passed. And I suppose there's now people questioning, will it come in at all in next September? We have to take it, it is, but it's a cost for employers, Chris, that, and for small employers, you know, some have said, Tony, will you ignore it? It says, there's no ignoring it. It's going to be automatically taken. And then if you have to, so communication is going to be crucial for both employers and their employees in this, during this journey.
The fact this is auto-enrollment, if an employer doesn't comply, I take it there will be penalties imposed and revenue will be clamping down on you.
Well, they don't really, they've no way, there won't be non-compliance, Chris, because it'll automatically be taken out of your payroll. So I think it's not, you know, it's going to be done. And, you know, you could end up, you know, even for company directors, we pay a different rate of PRSI, so we're exempt. But the bottom line is, it's not about being compliant. This is going to be compulsory and it'll be automatically taken.
And I suspect there'll be some sort of government campaign in the lead up to it. We're going to hear and read and see a lot more about this in terms of publicity.
Yeah, and you're going to hear a lot of positive news from the government. But you could also then, as I said, for employers with, you know, you look at the hospitality sector, for instance, they're all on about the VAT rate. But this is another cost on top of cost after cost. We all know, you know, the cost of living has gone up. So really, it is going to put a strain on small employers, and even in particular some larger employers that their profits are tight, Chris. But, you know, we are facing into an election in the new year. Well, hopefully it'll be the new year, not before Christmas. And, you know, government change, who's to say that this, you know, could have a different outlook on it. But like, we're 20 plus years into talking about this, so I think at this time, no matter what happens, they're going to have to follow through with the strategy.
Yeah, and I suppose finally, Tony, just rounding things off, looking at the state's demographics, and we've got an ageing population, the state wants to see more people having some sort of private pension or a pension there as well as the state one, because that'll take a little bit of pressure off the public finances in the long term.
Yeah, and look, just as a rule of thumb, Chris, currently for every two people, or for every person retired on the state pension, it's been sort of backed up by approximately four people working. In 2045-48, that's probably going to be 2-1 instead of 4-1. So that'll tell you the strain is going to come on the time bomb they're all talking about on the government pension. But look, the budget has given another €12 increase, Chris, and I think just to put it into context that, the average size pension probably in Ireland varies between, now this is the average, between 120 and 140,000 in total. But, if you look at the state pension today, if you were to go to ourselves and say, look, Tony, I would like to buy the same income that gives me the state pension, you're probably looking at approximately a 65-year-old having to write a cheque for maybe €320,000. So that'll tell you, and like a year and a half ago, you probably had to write a little bit more because annuity rates were lower. So that'll tell you how important and the cost of a state pension is. So, and as I said earlier on, Chris, I think we underestimate, it forms up a very important and integral part of your income at retirement, assuming you qualify for it.
So the bottom line, as things stand at the moment, get out there, start looking, start seeking advice, and equip yourself to know what's coming down the track in terms of auto-enrollment pensions.
Yeah, and one little thing, I think, nugget of information for listeners, Chris, would be that if you have 20-year service with an employer and you're due to retire, revenue rules allow you 1.5 times your salary tax-free. So I'll just give you a quick example. 40 grand salary with 20-year service, revenue rules will allow you to get a €60,000 tax-free lump sum from an employer-sponsored scheme. But if you went into auto-enrollment and you had 60,000 in that pot, you're only going to get 25%, which is 15 grand, and the balance, then you get a guaranteed income for life, which will depend on annuity rates, but you're looking at maybe 1,800, 2 grand a year. So if you were asked today, do you want option B, 60,000 tax-free, or option B, 15, and a small pension that could die with you, you're going to take option A. And I think that's why people are going to have to get advice on this. The finance bill will be passed by the end of, passed in the next few days as well. And there'll be more positive news probably in that for higher net worths on retirement planning, which probably will be a discussion another day, Chris.
And that was Tony Delaney, founder and chief executive of SYS Financial. And he's a leading expert in financial services. After the break, we'll be looking at a new sustainable fashion pop-up shop for young people in Inishowen.
If your small business has undertaken a Green for Business, Green Start or SEAI energy audit, you're eligible to apply for an energy efficiency grant aimed at reducing the impact of enterprises on the environment. The scheme from Local Enterprise Office Donegal supports all aspects of sustainability, including water, energy and the circular economy. Continue your sustainability journey at localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Welcome back. Inishowen social enterprise Spree August Sport has announced plans for a new sustainable fashion pop-up shop for young people. The Shopping Spree Swapper Buy project is aimed primarily at people in the 16 to 25 age group and will be launched on Saturday the 26th of October from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Colgan Hall in Carndonagh. The sustainable fashion pop-up project is part of Spree August Sport's circular economy hub, which is known as CIRI. The hub aims primarily to reduce waste and dumping by extending the lifetime and use of materials and products. Spree August Sport already has a retail outlet in Carndonagh, CIRI Clothing and Accessories, and also CIRI Home, which sells revamped, pre-loved furniture. So there's certainly a lot happening. Well, to find out more about Shopping Spree and the pop-up shop, I've been speaking with the coordinator of the whole project, Evine Nolan.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm Eveen and I'm actually from Carndonagh myself. I am passionate about fashion and sustainability, which I bring together through my work in Shiri Clothing, which is a pre-loved store in aid of Spruga Sport, and also which is driving Shopping Spree. It is in there where the idea for Shopping Spree was born, and I'm so excited to talk about it today. I noticed while working in Shiri that not a lot of people my age were actually coming into the shop, which I find really weird because it is a beautiful shop with so many nice clothes. I actually get almost all my clothes from there now, so I know that other young people would love it, but they just haven't been introduced to it properly. And that's when I thought, why not create an event to showcase how fun and accessible sustainable shopping can be? And an opportunity for funding came up, Spree applied for it, and here we are now, almost at our first event.
Sounds all very promising. And the whole concept of sustainability, we live in an age that many people have got used to the whole fast fashion and buying things, wearing them for maybe even just one occasion or a couple of occasions. There's huge wastage out there, but there definitely seems to be a growing awareness that people can do much more and that clothes can be reused, recycled, repaired, rebranded. There are so many options out there.
Yes, definitely. The crisis caused by fast fashion demands action, and while big change can feel overwhelming, starting small is key, and that's what we're offering with Shopping Spree, giving young people the chance to shop sustainability. And by choosing to buy locally, you're not only reducing your carbon footprint, but also helping the community. As we know, Ireland is slightly addicted to fast fashion. We consume twice as much clothing as any other country in Europe. And most of the clothes that we actually buy, 3 out of 5 of those end up in landfill. So if we can just eliminate a little bit of that with Shopping Spree, then we really are making a huge impact.
Absolutely. Now tell us a little bit about the launch on Saturday, October the 26th from 12 to 4. People can go along on the day, but as a follow-up from that, will it be a case of having a pop-up shop? Will it be a regular occurrence? Will it be every Saturday, or what's the sort of the medium to long term plan?
So our first event is on Saturday, October 26th, and we hope to run more over the course of the next 12 months all over Inishowen, with our next one hopefully in Muncrana, so stay tuned. The way the event is going to work is that we are asking 30 people to come and sell their own clothes. And we are providing this opportunity and the rail free of charge. And we hope that hundreds of young people will come on the day to shop the thousands of pre-loved items of clothing that will be for sale. So if anyone has anything they think would be great for the event or would like to participate, then they should go to our website, spreeoaksport.ie, or even if they want to look at our Instagram, which is @ShiriCarn, to even get a feel for the event and for further details. And while you don't have to pre-book to come, it would be really helpful for us if people would register on Eventbrite so that we have the information for our funding.
At the launch, you're going to have a repair cafe. Now, this is an opportunity for people to get clothes fixed and also learn how the clothes, how the life of those clothes can be extended.
Yes, so the Repair Cafe is for those who are interested in learning how to repair their own clothes. The majority of people, myself included, can't actually fix a hole in their clothes. And once they figure out, they're so pleased with themselves, as it's such an easy thing to do, but it really does prolong the life of any clothes. We have a sewing room in the Repair Cafe with 10 sewing machines, and we run classes as well and drop-in sessions too. People can learn to make or mend their own clothes, and it's mostly about making the most of what we already have in reducing waste and moving away from the real throwaway culture of fast fashion.
Funding for this project has come through the Irish Youth Foundation and also Coca-Cola. So the fact that there's a national organisation and a brand that we all know of backing it, you know, the support that is there, that's encouraging in itself. And no doubt we're going to see much more in this particular sector.
Yes, definitely. We're very fortunate to have the support of the Irish Youth Foundation and Coca-Cola. We wouldn't be able to do it without them. And it sounds so cool to say that they are actually helping us run the project.
And what sort of reaction have you had since the word got out that you were going to have this pop-up shop?
The reaction has been amazing. We've had so many people sign up to get a rail and sell their clothes, as well as so many people registering for tickets as well. I think people have really just realised what an amazing opportunity it actually is. It gives like people the chance to just take their own clothes that they have lying in their wardrobe and be able to come to a really nice event, sell their clothes and make a profit, and also get to shop at the same time.
Now, on the day of the launch, you're also going to have a DJ that's going to add to the whole atmosphere, and indeed a special speaker will be there. So if people have further questions about sustainable fashion and living, this is an ideal opportunity to meet with somebody who can provide them with many of the answers.
Yes, that's correct. We will be having a DJ. DJ Oshbosh has agreed to come and give a performance on the day, as well as a guest speaker who is going to talk about sustainability and the impact of fast fashion and answer any queries and just kind of be there as a touch point.
The Sustainable Fashion Pop-Up Project is part of Spree August Sports' circular economy hub known as Siri. So this hub really, it just wants to reduce waste and dumping, extend the lifetime and use of materials and products, and also for people to share, lease, reuse, repair, refurbish, recycle. It's only when you actually delve into it, you just realise just how many opportunities there are out there, and we can be all so much more productive. And if everybody just makes a small step in the right direction, the end result can be quite considerable.
Definitely. It's all about the small steps that really drive the change. At Shiri, we're committed to incorporating sustainability into everything we do. All the clothes in our shop are donations that we receive, and that in itself has a massive impact into reducing waste, and every cent that we raise reinvested back into our services. But once you step back from the whole fast fashion world and look into sustainability, there is so much in it, from thrifting to upcycling to repairing to even coming to Shopping Spree, selling on Depop. The options are literally endless.
Even the Siri clothing hub is already up and running. Can you tell us just a little bit about it and the opening hours?
Yes, so we have two shops, Siri Clothing and Siri Home. The clothes shop is filled with gorgeous clothes in all sizes with lots of different really nice brands. And then Siri Home has some fabulous upcycled furniture pieces and all your homeware. Both shops are open from 10 till 5, Siri Clothing Monday to Saturday, and Siri Home Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
I understand there's plans for a Siri Tech for restored technology and devices, and indeed Siri Bicycles for looking at repaired bikes and scooters. Again, when you look at so many products out there, many of them don't get an opportunity for people to take in and give them that new lease of life. So these are exciting times. There's big opportunities out there. And certainly Spree August Sport is leading the way in Inishowen.
Yeah, at some point I feel like everything in Spree will become reusable, which is fantastic. And it is the way that it should be, because most of the things that we replace could be fixed so easily. And Shiri is really paving the way for people to start doing that.
And even you are in Dublin studying in UCD. You're doing business and law. No doubt you can see going forward opportunities in that area. That ties in very well with the whole growing trend of having more sustainability.
Yes, a lot of my business classes, the main focus on everything now is just all about sustainability. Even on the law side, a lot of new regulation and stuff is coming in around sustainability and textile dumping. So it's really exciting that I can put the two together.
And that was Evie Nolan, the project coordinator for the new sustainable fashion pop-up shop coming to Inishowen. And a reminder of those details again, if you want to be involved, you can register in advance at their website. That's Spreeaugusport, www.spreeaugusport.ie. There's also details and links on the Instagram account Siri Carn. That's S-I-O-R-A-I Carn, C-A-R-N. And if you go to Eventbrite and put in Shopping Spree, that's Shopping S-P-R-A-O-I, you'll also get the details. Well, that's it for this week's Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, I hope you have a healthy and profitable week. Goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.